Say, because all of us have to live like that, and all of us lives, our lives, all of us that say they are followers of Christ have to live that standard. It is not just for some, it's for every child of God. In other words, they set a standard and they demonstrate a principle or the concept in their actions. They live by it. It is not just someone who have lip service. It's not just someone that talk the talk and they don't walk the walk. It's someone who walk the talk. Not sinless again, not perfect, that they chase perfectionism. You won't reach it in this world. To please God, the only thing to please Him is to obey Him. It is in being, not in doing. But if I love Him, like Jesus said in John 14:21, if you love me, you will obey me. So this is someone that demonstrates that principles that they live by. It also says it inspires others to follow the same. He said, do what I do. If you don't know what to do, do what I do. I think I did told you about Mozambique. We attacked that 7-10-ton truck. And they said to us, it is, I think, just after the flood in 2000, I have to go to some village somewhere up there, and I don't even know where is it. But Pastor Peter Corso, who passed away now, he know the area. He's a very good pastor and a tracker, and he can speak a little bit Afrikaans, English, Shangaan, Portuguese. Man alive, that man. Well, I saw, I think if I can... what is the right word? If I can put him one side, this is a man of God. Not by my standard. I visited them a few times in their house. And one state I slept over with them to go to Mozambique. I'm telling you, the standard that they live by is not any other church standard. This is what God expects every child of God. And as I asked him, I said, Pastor Peter, I don't know where's this place. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, I also don't know where's it. But I'm going to trust him. But it is, cut a long story short, we reached late that night to our destination with a flat as well. Follow me. Many times we come in Mozambique one stage. Already when we go and get the Americans on the airport, they come. We pick them up, we load everything. The camp has already been set up. We go before, me and my wife, we go into Mozambique here at the Pafuri, and we set up the camp. We have 30 people in our camp. We put already the tents up. Everything is ready for them. We go back and we go pick them up at the airport there in Oar Tambo, and then we go to Mozambique. And that day when we rock up there in that gate between South Africa and Pafuri, they don't want us to go in. Remember, our tents are all up in Mozambique. They don't want us to go in. Big thing. Big. So we wait for Pastor Peter to come. He come. He said to us, you do the praying, I do the talking. It's okay. And I saw he go into that offices of the in Mozambique side, where you give your passports and they stamp it, and he stay away for a long time. And I see he come out. And he asked, what is the registration of the vehicles? Give it to me. He said, you do the praying, I do the talking. And he said, stay away. And he come out. He said, start, we go. Follow my faith as I have faith in God. It's someone who inspires others to follow the same. Sometimes we admire someone else's faith, isn't it? If you read chapter 11 of Hebrews, you admire those people, men and women, who's been penned down to see what they trust the Lord for and how radical they are in their faith. And this faith that Paul talks about here is not faith for salvation, because he says this faith is the faith after you come to Christ. The confidence and the trust that you have in God.
Wow.
I ask the question, does my life again serve as a role model to say, if you see the faith that I have, follow that. Follow that. It's a living in a way that shows, in other words, I said living in a way that shows that there, what it means to follow Christ, demonstrating the values and the principles of how a Christian should walk in his day-by-day practice. What do you do every day? Do I really believe, have faith in God? I said the other day, not so long ago, and this is what I said. I said, it is one thing to believe in God and a different thing to believe God. It's two different things. It's good to believe in Him, but that is just intellectual. But a total difference where it comes deeper than just theory, it comes an heart experience, I believe God. That I experiencing something of Him in my day-by-day life, in the storms of life, in the hiccups of life, on the challenges of life, that I have faith, I believe Him. When the going get tough, I believe Him. I don't give up. When things doesn't go my way, I don't give up. When things are against me, I don't give up. When everybody is accusing me and is on my case, I don't give up. And it feels like I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Give it to God so you can, don't have a nervous breakdown, but you will have a breakthrough with Christ after conversion. Show them what it is, Timothy, through your life. There's a verse in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that reads, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because everyone or anyone who comes to Him must, what must they do? Must believe that He exists. Now if I have to camp there just for a second or two, is God real to us? When we come to Him by prayer or in prayer or one of those, I call it those like a machine gun prayers. I don't have time to go in my closet, the prayer closet. I don't have time to go and consecrate myself or set myself apart for a day or two to pray about. I have to do it right here, right now. Do I believe that God is real, that God exists, that God will listen to me, and that I come to Him through faith? Because He said, must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It's that attitude that we must have, a certain kind of assertiveness. I know God will hear me. I know God will listen to me. I have an audience with God. Timothy, show them. He who comes to God, doesn't matter who you are, if you are a child of God, even if an unbeliever come to Him by say, Lord, you know, and the little that I know about you, like that Samaritan woman, that woman that say, Lord, I only want the crumbs that fall from our master's table. That's all. And Lord said, look at this woman's faith. They are not even part of Israel. They are heathens. They are pagans. And they demonstrate faith in Him. Do you believe that when you go to God, whatever the case may be, that He exists, that He listened to you, that you matter to Him, that when you go to Him, that He gives His 100% attention to you. You know what is for me mind-blowing? I don't even have to talk about the whole world. Just take us in this mission. How many are we? Sometimes we are 40 or something. Let's take us, and we all pray the same time to God that He gives each one of us undivided attention. I can't fathom that. I listen to some people and I get so confused. I can get delirious and say, shut up, I can't hear. But we sing together. We can't talk together. But the amazing part of God that He gives us, those millions who come to Him, undivided attention. It's impossible unless you are God. And He said, I am a rewarder of those who come to me by faith. Now, I may not dare to ask you, and I know it's very, very personal, but here's the challenge. How's my walk with Him? How deep is my relationship with God? Is He really able, if He say there in Jude 24, to keep me from falling or stumbling, like this translation say, the New King James say, from falling? Is He really able to keep me if I allow Him to do that? Because I have to allow God to do that. How can you say that? If I go to the brothels, you think God will keep me? If I go to the shebeens, you think He will keep me? He's not even there. Because light and darkness is not compatible. So I have to stay away from those places if I don't want to stumble. If I don't want to fall, stay away from the company I keep, because it was them who gave me in this mess. Because they drag me down and they corrupt my character, and it's like a river that is full in full force, and where it makes the curves, the water cut away on the sides of that riverbed. It cuts it away and away, and before you know, that whole wall fall in, because that water cut it away. And that is what corruption do. It cuts away the godly principles that is in my life, that virtues and ethics that is in my life. That is what bad company do. And before you know, we are just like that. All of those wonderful things are out of the back door. And bitter is now sweet, and sweet is bitter. How is our walk? How is our relationship with God? Can I trust God? There's something about God. We call it the fidelity of God. What's that? Wow. The truthfulness. The faithfulness. His truth, His wisdom, His promises, to have confidence in God. Job say, Lord, although you want to slay me, I will still trust you. Lord, even though you don't want to fix my eye and heal my blind eye, but sometimes, it's like today, the tears just roll out of it. It's painful. Even if you don't do that, I will still follow you. I will still serve you. What does many people do when they are in a calamity and a predicament, or whatever you want to call it, and it's such between a rock and a hard place, they give up. And question why, and you know, this is a God of love. Yes, He is. Why don't he answer me? Why don't He intervene? Because He's still God. Because there's something that we need to learn about this God that many of us maybe don't know about this God, because it is called the sovereignty of God. And who am I and who is He? The fidelity of God. The confidence that I have in God. And what does that means, that fidelity? The faithfulness of Him. I may be unfaithful to Him, because we can be. The chances are good that we can be unfaithful. When temptation comes, sometimes it's not that we hate God when we fall into temptation. It's just at that moment we forgot about Him. It's not that I hate Him. No, I just forgot about it. And regret is a wonderful thing. It is just come too late many times. So it means His faithfulness, His loyalty and steadfastness in His relationship with you and me. If we say we've been born out of Him, He will stay faithful to you. He will stay loyal to you. and to me. If we are unfaithful, he stays faithful. And he is faithful to discipline me. He's not, don't see, nothing here, don't say anything. He's not like that. He will bring me to book. With, like a loving father. And he will discipline us. I said to you, God's unwavering commitment to his own. Unwavering. Psalm 119 verse 133 say these words. Listen to this. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. Not man's precepts, not man's statutes or principles or commands that is righteous. No, he says, yours. That what you lay down, it is fully trustworthy. It speaks about every promise that God gives is trustworthy. Every command, every word is trustworthy. Compared to us, come on now. We say one thing and we do another thing. Oh, I didn't mean it by that. Quickly, go to Isaiah, if you can. Isaiah 46 says something as well concerning this. Verse 10 and verse 11. God say, I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come, I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From a far off land, a man to fulfill my promise. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. They talk about that sovereignty of God. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And he will always fulfill his purposes in your life. And if God has a purpose, you can count on it. He will bring it to accomplish. He bring it to fulfillment. Can I trust him? Is he able to do that for me? Yes, he say, I will do it. Psalm 103. Before I read it, maybe I must first read Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a man, son of man that he should change his mind. And he say here, does he speak? He speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Is God like us? Psalm 50 verse 21 say, these things you have done and I have been silent. You thought that I was just like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. In Psalm 50 verse 21. In other words, God is not like us. And don't bring him down to that level because he's not like us. And because we do sometimes things and we think we get away with it, he said, although God is silent about it, don't think he missed his eye. Don't think that he didn't saw it. The problem is that because we're not being caught out immediately, we think we got away and we are burned to do much more worse now. But we don't realize God is going to call us and bring us to book. Let's talk about him, his faithfulness. Listen to Psalm 103 verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That talk about the love and care that God has for his own. Compassion. And I know that many of us, maybe who here, listen to me, come from a fatherless house. The father might not even be there somewhere out there in the dark, or is at home, but he's not really at home. He's absent-minded. And it is difficult when you look at the heart of God, the father heart of God, to say, but Lord, I struggle, and I talk about myself. There was a time that I struggled with the father heart of God because I couldn't see anything of God in my stepfather. But the Heavenly Father is unlike my stepfather. He's perfect. And many of us don't even hear that word from our fathers, earthly fathers. This is my son. I love you. I accept you of who you are. You don't have to impress me. You don't have to be a perfectionist to have my approval. My son, I love you just the way you are, just as you are. I accept you because you are my son. I took ownership of you. I am your father. That is the voice that hear from heaven after Jesus has been baptized. This is my son, my beloved son, the one I love, the one I care. I took ownership of him. He's mine. He don't have to impress me. And many of us didn't even hear that word from our fathers. What about the ladies? Many of them need to hear that from their daddies. That's why I said many times, are our men, are our daughters safe with us? Can they see the faith that we have in God, that they want to follow that? Why is it so many of the children and households don't want to serve God? What do they see in their homes that chase them, push them away from God? Timothy, be an example in faith. So after conversion, why is that many wives moan and groan because their husbands don't want to give their lives to Christ and they say they are Christians? Man, if you keep quiet for a while and don't scold your husband and try to compare him with someone else. The Bible says you will win your husband by keep your mouth shut and show him through your actions what is a child of God about. Don't give him history lessons. You want him to be saved. Show him. Live it. Don't preach to him. Live it. You can read it in Peter. Peter say that. You know when I come to the conclusion, I'm not finished yet, but continue next time. How, when people look at our faith as we do our day-to-day practical work and the challenges that comes to us, can people say, you know what, it doesn't matter what comes to this lady, it doesn't matter what comes to this man, it doesn't matter what life gives them, their eyes are fixed upon God. And they believe him. And they grow in their faith in him. Stronger faith. Because what they've learned, they put it to practice in their lives. Because they say it is God's word. It is not mere man's words here trying to scare the words out of us. This is God's love letter to me. This is his last will to me. And I need to comply. And my faith grow. And that will show in what you do. And if you don't have that, you will grow, moan and groan and complain this and that. Why? Do I really believe God? I go to the prayer closet and I pray my heart out. And I say, thank you, Lord. And I walk out and say, oh, I don't know if I even going to get it. To just cancel your prayer. Because doubt is a sin. He who believes, he who come to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder for those who seek him earnestly. Let us pray. This is tough, Lord, when Paul said to Timothy, be an example in faith. Oh, I pray, Lord, that you will help us and help us with this unbelief. Help us, and we can't make you real, Lord. For many, and I'm talking general, and pray in general, for many you are not real. You are so far or from a distance. I pray for those who are following you. May they bring you closer through their faith in you and believe you, that the others can be inspired to follow that model and to exercise that same faith in spite of or despite the circumstances. And I pray that as they sit with your word, that you reveal yourself to them and to us. Because the more we get to know you, the more we can trust you and can rely on you, Lord. And I pray that it will grow from strength to strength. And please forgive where we doubt, And we are not so sure because of the circumstances. And thank you, Lord, that you are able to keep us from falling, to keep us from stumbling. We praise you for that. Amen.